Well, it's been a foggy Thursday morning outside of El Reno, Oklahoma here today. We're at the Darlington Chapel, owned by Redlands Community College, talking today with Clay Pope. He's a conservation consultant with Redlands. Clay, tell us kind of what you got planned for today.
Well, what we're doing today, the USDA Southern Plains Climate Hub, Redlands Community College, and the Oklahoma Association of Conservation Districts. This is the fifth of our soil health seminars that we've had here at Redlands. The college a few years back dedicated their farm ground is a learning laboratory on soil health and has been trying to work extensively with the ARS facility at Fort Reno to come up with some of these soil health strategies to help agriculture producers not just deal with extreme weather events, droughts and floods, things that, you know, trying to control erosion, trying to make sure we hang on to every drop of moisture we possibly have, but also trying to help producers' bottom lines. Today, our meeting is we're having another meeting that goes along with that initiative. We're talking a little more today about tools and technology that are available to producers that are looking at these strategies. Talking about some of the things with precision agriculture that are out there. We're going to have folks with Oklahoma State talking a little bit about the Green Seeker program. Some of the financial tools that are out there. RMA is going to make a presentation about some options for soil health producers. And NRCS talking about programs like the Conservation Stewardship Program. Just trying to give more information to folks that are trying to do some things, again, to help their bottom line and also harden their farming and ranching operations to droughts and floods and other extreme weather events that we have from time to time in the Southern Plains. Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to agriculture, you know, every penny saved is a penny earned. And, you know, for a lot of these producers that are putting a lot of inputs into their operation, these conservation techniques, they make a lot of sense for folks, and they really can't afford not to do these kind of things.
Well, if we can show ways that folks can improve their bottom line by lowering their input costs, you know, there's been information out there from Oklahoma State that showed that, you know, if you convert, you know, if you're looking at no-till wheat production versus conventional-till wheat production, that you can save as much as 3 gallons of diesel per acre per year. And then, you know, of course, we've had this rain with the weather front that came through this last weekend, but, you know, we're still dealing with drought in this part of the world. And, you know, if you can do things to increase the water holding capacity of your soil, Kansas State said if you can increase your organic matter by 1%, you could triple the soil's water holding capacity. And that's over 20,000 gallons of water per acre per year on average. It's available for growing crops and for forage for livestock. You can do things like that to, again, help harden your system while at the same time lowering those input costs. You know, if you can increase organic matter, you can increase fertilizer efficiency. There's some information from ARS out there that we lose roughly 60% of the fertilizer we put on the ground if we don't have a healthy subsoil microbial community. How do you get that? By increasing the organic matter, by reducing tillage, by doing things to have something green and growing more during the year on the top of the soil to feed that subsoil microbial community, those bugs, bacteria, and fungi that then have a symbiotic relationship with those plants, help them more readily take up those nutrients when you put that fertilizer down. Can we help folks do things like that, help their bottom line while at the same time helping them deal with extreme weather and help the environment too, because those same practices we want to do to control erosion, help address non-point source pollution. Mentioned organic matter, 60% of it's organic carbon. You know, it's photosynthesis, pulling in CO2 out of the air, putting oxygen back in the system, getting that carbon cycle back into balance. We can do things where we're helping producers' bottom lines, helping them feed and clothe the world while at the same time helping the environment. I think it's win-win for everybody.
And as you mentioned, you know, Oklahoma has been kind of experiencing a drought in most of the state. I don't think it was as severe as we thought it was going to be, but we got some moisture this last week. How has that improved our systems here?
Well, obviously, anytime you get rain, you know, there's a lot more people have left this country because it was too dry than too wet. And so we definitely were lucky to get the moisture that we've had, although there are still parts of the state that are in drought. And, you know, you don't have to look any further than just a couple of years ago. You know, we were dealing with the worst drought we've ever had in state history. That was followed by the wettest May ever in the history of the states of Oklahoma, Texas, and I believe Kansas. You know, we can go from one extreme to the other. And, you know, I think we always have to be mindful that we've got to control or that we've got to take steps to make sure that we hang on again to that moisture whenever we get it. But at the same time, also make sure that we're controlling erosion. You know, a lot of people don't realize it, but for every pound of wheat we produce in the state, we lose about 2.5 pounds of topsoil. When those heavy rains come, you want to make sure you're holding on to that, because your soil is the basis of all your wealth and production agriculture. And if we're going to feed and clothe the world, you know, we're talking about, what, 9 billion people by mid-century, we've got to have that inch of topsoil, because that's what all of civilization rests on. And as farmers and ranchers, that's what all our wealth comes from. If we're going to lose our soil, we might as well do ourselves a favor and quit farming and just start throwing dollar bills in the creek, because that's basically what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We can do those things. We can help our bottom lines. We can help make sure that we keep our production agriculture base in place and do it in a way that helps our natural resource base too.
So probably probably a safe assumption that the folks that have been already doing these kind of practices, they're probably faring a little bit better in these drought conditions than some other folks.
Well, that's some of the stuff that we're looking at. You know, obviously, there's a lot of anecdotal evidence out there. You know, there's been some studies that have been done to try to look at the water holding capacity. I'd mentioned the study from Kansas State University duplicating some of those findings in the state of Oklahoma. Some of these other findings we've seen in other parts of the United States, especially in the upper Midwest. That's some of the stuff that we're trying to do in the Southern Plains, is to see if we can't duplicate that information. The ARS facility here at Fort Reno actually is doing some significant work right now and doing some studies along those lines. And, you know, like I said, from what you see from the preliminary results and the anecdotal evidence, and I think when you talk to those producers, they'll tell you that, yes, it makes a difference. I can tell you as a no-till farmer myself, it seems like your wheat hangs on a little bit better when you can hold on to that subsoil moisture. And those are the tools and the skills that we're trying to get out there and help folks adapt and put in place in their own operation.